You know, like,
yeah.
Is that what you're talking about? Like, kids, like, what do you mean?
That's one part of it. That's one part of it. So that's one way that it comes out. You know, a lot of us kind of learn to hold our tongue and not to say certain things. But then especially my daughter, she'll be in public. And first of all, she likes to steal things because she doesn't really vibe with the whole, oh yeah, you need to pay money for it. It's just like, I like it, I'm taking it. Kind of vibe, but then also she'll speak to people very candidly. She'll say, you stink, or she'll say, you know, why is that person so fat, or just, you know, she'll just ask questions and just say things just like that. And I remember when Aries was younger, I went past one woman and like she had a big ass, right? So he literally went up to her and like slapped her on the ass and said, big booty. I was like,
oh my god,
that's hilarious. I said, that is hilarious.
Not even. Boy. That's a joke. Not even. Don't do that. That was fucking hilarious.
Yeah, so, I had to tell him, like, all right, there's certain levels. Yeah, we don't want to, you know, impose ourselves in people's space. At the same time, yes, that is true, what you're saying. She does indeed have a lot of ass. At the same time. There's levels. There's levels. So yeah, it's just finding that balance, man.
You know what?
Which doesn't exist. The balance doesn't even exist.
What do you mean balance? Oh, with kids. Right,
but yeah, go on. What are you saying?
But balance doesn't exist with kids.
It's just like it's like a seesaw. Yeah, it's like a seesaw. You just kind of go on one side to the other. Man, but now what are you saying?
Oh no, I was going to say that reminds me of the first episode of Master of None, and he's looking after his friend's kids, and they're just walking down the street, and they go into a coffee shop or something, and then she's just looking around, and she's like, black person, white person, Indian person, and then he's like, hey, don't go around pointing people's ethnicity. That's not cool, man.
Oh man.
Oh,
that's so true. So true.
Man, kids.
Man.
So,
it's refreshing though.
Yeah.
It's refreshing.
This is the podcast I've been waiting for, man. I've been waiting for this one. I've been waiting for the one where we go into the minds of Hollywood and Bollywood and Nollywood or whatever movies we're going to be jumping into, because I want to know how you are, like, the messages that they're putting in these movies and the things that, you know, they're putting right in our faces, and how that translates to what's going on right now in the world. I've been looking forward to this, man.
Yes, yes.
So we started out with The Matrix. Man.
Yeah, we started speaking about The Matrix last week.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Yeah. Go on.
No, I was just like, yeah, I'm excited, man. I'm just like, yeah, let's go.
Yeah, man.
Oh, okay. I messed up as well.
You briefly touched on zeros and ones, right?
Oh, yeah. And I messed up because I wanted to read that Demiurge thing, but I've been too busy. Because I remember even after the podcast, when we switched everything off, we were talking about the Demiurge thing, and then we were just going, like, that conversation we had, we were like,
Yeah, shit. Boy.
But yeah, so.
Yes, yes.
So we can get into that later on as well. But, you were talking about Zoes of Hans. We left off with Trinity, and she was doing... What? She broke into the thing and she was waiting for the agent to come through. He didn't come through. Then she was like, get off your ass, we gotta go. Then we went back to... Did she already meet Neo? Did we get up to that bit?
Speaking about the bit, yeah. When she contacted him through the computer.
Okay, so what else? What else is this movie saying? Because I know you're not just going to be Matrix. I think there's other things you've got going on, but just give it to me, man. Give it to the listeners. Give it to us.
It's something else it links into, man. 100%. 100%. And so when they came to the door before he went to the club, before they took Neo to the club, they were speaking about, you know, how he needs to chill out and get some rest and relaxation. They said R&R. And there's a whole bunch of symbolism with those letters and the numbers that they sum to in gematria and all kinds. And it's like a code that can be deciphered. But that's a whole other thing. That's like details. I want to stick with the bigger picture for the time being.
I don't even know what's going on. What do you mean? What?
Which is... Because what we spoke about after we went off last week, we spoke about so after the club scene, right? After he wakes up the next morning and he's just like, well, you know, was that whole thing just a dream that I went through last night?
Wait,
Trinity in the club.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, because the people that came to his door and he did was it something with the chip that he did for them? I don't remember clearly, but he did something for them with his technical expertise, and they paid him for it. And then they were like, you're looking very uptight. You need to come out with us. And then the girl had the white rabbit tattoo. And when he was talking with Trinity on the computer, she said, follow the white rabbit. So he was like, all right, yeah, fuck it. So I'm going with the white rabbit, went to the club. And then that's where him and Trinity meet. And then, so I don't remember if we were speaking about this on air or off.
No, I don't think we ever.
This is where she said to him.
Yeah, go on.
No?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think we ever spoke about it. Yeah.
Okay. So she goes, when they're talking in the club, Trinity and Neo, she says to him, I know why you're here. And I know why you live like you do. I know why you wake up the same time every day. And you're in this job you hate. And she said, it's because you're not looking for him. You're looking for an answer. Mm, yeah, we spoke about that.
Yeah, we did.
I don't remember
if
it was in the recording or outside. But yeah.
Yeah.
So, and the question isn't it's not about him, you know, him being Morpheus, but him also being the idea of God that so many of us seem to be looking for. Like we're looking for a savior, like a figure so that we can make sense of this whole thing, right?
Yeah, and this is when the demiurge thing came out. That.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You said it's not about that. What you want to know is what is the matrix? So essentially, what is this life? What is its meaning? Like, why am I doing this shit every single day? Living the same cycle of 24 hours over and again, you know? And so after that whole club scene, he wakes up the next morning not knowing if it was real or if it was a dream. And the time on the clock says 9:18, so 18 minutes past nine. And that all sums up to, so in numerology, you always sum up numbers to the lowest single digit. So 9:18 is basically 9 + 1 + 8, which is 18 again. And then 1 + 8 = 9. So those three figures, those three digits on the clock will sum up to 9 again. And 9 is known as a magic number because every single multiple of 9 sums up to 9 every single time. So 9, obviously, 18, 1 + 8 = 9. 27, 2 + 7 = 9. 36, 3 + 6 = 9, and so on and so forth. Every single multiple of 9 reduces to 9.
Is that...
Again, it's like a magic number.
Let me check that out. Okay. Multiples of 9. I never even knew that, dude. Okay,
infinitely.
Okay. Wait, give me a sec. So every multiple of 9. That's what you're saying. All the multiples.
Every
of
single
9.
Multiple. So you can do like 7,655. Times 9, and whatever the result of that is, it's going to reduce to 9.
Okay, I'm going to do that now. I'm going to prove your theory. Maybe you're correct, but I just want to see this for myself because I never even knew that. So I think everyone listening, get out your calculator and do this. So I'm going to do 5,411 times by 9, and that gives me 48,699. So how exactly am I supposed to do this?
So you add the single digits together. So 4 plus, what did you say the result was?
48,699.
48,699. Yeah. So then you add 4 + 8 + 6 + 9 + 9.
Wait, let me just actually. So it was five. Okay. So for everyone listening, it was 5,411 times 9. And that equaled to 48,699. So now I need to do 4 + 8 + 6 + 9 + 9.
Mm-hmm.
I have to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so 4 + 8 + 6 + 9 + 9 gives me 36.
Mm. And then you add the 3 and the 6.
Wait, what?
Yeah, bro.
What? No, infinitely. No. Okay. Let me do it. Wait. Let me do some mad stupid number. Let me just say 8,463,975. Alright, so that's 8,463,975 times 9. We do that. Just to see if this works out as well. Cause if that does, then gosh damn. Maths, man. Is it related to science?
Yes indeed.
Now, do you know? No, that's a famous Katy Perry quote. She was talking to Neil deGrasse Tyson, and she was like, he was telling her stuff, and then she was like, "Wow, maths, is that related to science?" And he just looked at her and yeah, it definitely is.
Yes, it is.
He was very nice about it though, but you can see in his face, he was like, "Oh my gosh." Alright, so that gave me 76,175,775. So let me do this again. So we're 7 + 6 + 1 + 7 + 5 + 7 + 7 + 5 gives me 45, 5 + 4. Fuck it out. that is actually mad. Okay, I'm a believer.
Infinitely.
I'm a believer.
Wait, so numbers are the language of the universe.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's how we interpret what's going on here. And there's something that you might want to look into as well called vortex mathematics, which works with that number 9 and the different sides of the numbers that lead up to the 9.
All right, vortex maths.
I don't have enough of an understanding of it to explain it to you right now.
All right.
But it's worth reading up on.
God damn.
Most definitely.
Gosh damn.
Yeah, man.
Numbers,
so that's
man.
The power of the number 9.
Okay.
And the symbolism of the 9 is that it's the last digit before a new cycle.
Yeah.
So any number that ends in a 9, the next one's going to be a 0 again. It's going to end in a 0.
Mm-hmm.
So 9 comes before 10, 29 comes before 30,
yeah.
99 comes before 100, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
So that 9 is the number of rebirth.
Okay.
So him waking up at that time, at 9:18 a.m., is hinting at the topic of rebirth or being reborn, right?
Damn, you really went in. I love this. Jesus. Yeah, that's okay. So go on. I love it.
I'm telling you, man. Man. So he's going to work now. He's late. He's late for work. And he's going to work. He's a software engineer at Meta Cortex, right?
Yeah.
At Meta Cortex. So we can break down that word as well. Cortex is anything to do with the outer boundaries of the brain.
Yeah, I think we did this last time.
Meta. Yeah. Meta is going beyond. So literally we're going beyond. This is the part that we didn't speak about that we're coming up to. We're going to drop it in a second.
Okay.
So meta is going beyond. So again, we have a symbol that suggests we're going beyond the limits of the brain, right? And he walks into his place of work and his boss calls him in and gives him a lecture about, you know, what he is. He says, you're not special. You think you can just do this and do that. But the thing is, you're part of, you know, you're just one cog in the system that makes this whole thing run. And if one of us have a problem, then all of us have a problem. Like this whole lecture, right?
Mm-hmm.
Thing is, this boss, he now gives him a choice. He says, you either choose to be on time or you choose to find a new job. So he presented it to him as though those are his only two options, right? Which again is the idea of limiting what is possible for us. He's given him these two options as though those are the only things he has to choose from in life. But really, no, he could also go and start his own business, for example. He could go and be a bum and not earn any money if he wanted to. He could go and live off the land somewhere and just grow his food for his living, you know. He has an infinite amount of choices. It's far more than those two that his quote-unquote boss presented to him.
Yeah.
And the way I see that reflected in our world is many times we're given a choice between two things and saying this is all that's available. So the political system in America, for example, it's like you're either red or you're blue, right? Yeah. You're either Republican, you're Democrat. That's it.
Yeah.
That's all you have to choose from.
There's other parties, by the way.
You can classify yourself.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
Mm.
But the way it's presented is this is all you have to choose from. And you can also see it in the, you know, we spoke about flat earth, round earth.
Yeah.
You know, we see that whole debate. And again, that's presented as though if you believe in the globe model that's in the books, you're smart. If you believe in flat earth model, you're stupid. But I'm like, why are those the only two options anyway? Because none of us have seen it as far as I haven't seen it. I don't know what this shit actually looks like. So I'm just going on the word of NASA. I'm going on the word of these people who, yeah, they could be telling me the truth, but they could also be lying to me. I haven't verified it for myself.
But that's the same as, you know? Have you ever seen a blue whale in real life? Have you ever seen a blue whale?
Exactly. No,
never. Then how do you know a blue whale exists? You've never seen it. You've only seen it in the pictures and videos that they've shown you. But you haven't seen it with your own eyes.
Yeah. Well, I literally don't know it exists.
But I don't know. Like, there's certain things. Like, I'm not saying people who believe in flat earth are stupid. That's just their way of trying to interpret the world we live in. If they want to see it like that, all right.
Mm.
But just when certain things are presented to you, you kind of have to also see, well, that just makes logical sense. Like you were talking about, like, numbers before, and numbers are literally the universal language of the universe. And it's like, when you put maths in play, especially with gravity and things like that, it just makes sense that the planet we are on is a sphere. It's a sphere, sorry. So it just makes sense in that kind of terms. But anyway, yeah, continue.
Yeah, I totally hear that. And yeah, it makes a lot of logical sense. And so, and this is where the aspect of going beyond the boundaries of the brain comes into it, because it's like going beyond logic and seeing what else is possible.
Mm.
You know, it's like the world of law and lawyers, really and truly, if the law is the law, it should be very clear for everyone to interpret. And then, you know, if someone commits a certain crime and it's against the law and this is the punishment for it, then so be it. But there's a whole industry of people who are experts at interpreting these laws in certain ways so as to bend it to their will.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's like you can create any picture you want from a set of laws.
Mm-hmm. No, I get that, yeah. But but that's the thing. Isn't that a bit different? Because here's the thing, right? The reason why that's the way is because back in the day, they used to live in a certain style. Like, technology wasn't as far gone as it was before. Like, if we take America again, sorry that we're always going back to America, but back in the day, it was literally just open space. There was new people coming to the new states every day. You don't know who's who. If you're in a town that there's no barricades, no nothing, someone rolls in, you don't know whether they're going to do some dumb shit or not. It made sense that everyone should carry a weapon, and everyone should have the right to carry a weapon, because back in those days, it was dangerous not to have one. But now, seeing as, you know, things are safer, you know, it's not the Wild West anymore, but people still feel like they still need a right to carry a weapon, even though it's not even that dangerous for you to be, you know, going out. So certain laws are put into place at certain times, but they don't age well, or they need to be added upon because things have changed and become more complex. Hence why lawyers were created to help interpret these laws, or maybe change them a little bit. I don't think it's bending them. I think it's just bringing them into the 21st century, because there's certain laws that need to be updated or need to be obsolete. But because people are so, what's the word I'm looking for? People are so traditional, I guess. They just want to hold on. Well, it's tradition. It's the law. And it's like, well, the law's stupid now. It doesn't make sense now. It was the law then, but the law needs to be updated now. We can update the law. Just as we update our dictionaries, we can update the law. it's not that difficult. Like, think about it as your phone. Everyone buys a new iPhone when the new iPhone comes out and gets a new software update. Imagine if, you know, the new iPhone's coming out, but you're still using the software from the first iPhone. No, update the damn phone. So update laws. It's like that. But that's how I see it anyway.
I hear that. And there's an interesting point about nature that I want to come back to at some point.
Cool. I'll make a note of it.
Now's not the right time. Definitely. Now's not the right time.
Okay.
But I feel as though something's going to come up in the conversation where it will fit in perfectly.
Okay. Whenever you feel like bringing it up, bring it up.
I'm going to write that down as well.
Cool.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. Yeah, man. So we're speaking about Neo's boss.
Yes.
And this is what we spoke about last week as well. Cool. After we start recording.
Yeah.
Which is the boss's name, which is Reinhardt, right? And so we spoke about this whole thing being a simulation, and how Rhinestone is a simulation of a diamond. So this suggests that Reinhardt is a simulation of the heart.
Hmm.
And he's given this whole speech about, you know, we're part of the whole. So the heart is the controller. It's what keeps the human body vehicle alive.
Mm.
So it helps it to move from A to B.
Mm.
And so this simulated heart is what keeps this company alive. It's what keeps this company afloat.
Yeah.
And Thomas Anderson, AKA Neo, is threatening. He's become a threat to that body.
Mm-hmm.
He's become a threat to that body. So now when the agents come looking for him, he gets pointed out in an instant. He's sitting down in his cubicle and these agents are after him.
Yeah.
They're like, all right, cool. We're coming to get you, Mr. Anderson.
Oh,
Mr. Anderson.
So are you saying
before they come for him, he gets gone.
So sorry to interrupt. So are you kind of saying, so, cause I remember we talked about this off air. You were saying how, you know, Reinhardt is the name of his boss, and the name Reinhardt, or the Rein part, means fake or false. And you were saying that like his boss is like a fake heart of the company. And what you're saying now is that this company with the fake heart is now pointing out Neo as this like intruder, or this part that's like making trouble. So what are the agents, like the antibodies, or trying to take him out or something like that?
Indeed. Neo has become a threat to the functioning of that system.
Yeah.
And so I don't know the exact means, how, you know, who called those agents, who alerted them.
Yeah, how but did
it
that was happen?
So from what I see, exactly, it just appears to be that his energy signature, his frequency changed, and then it stood out.
Yeah.
So quite like we were speaking about with viruses, right? When the body is alerted to something that does not belong, it sends along the troops.
Mm.
to go take care of it. So the troops came to go and take care of Mr. Anderson.
Fucking love that guy, man.
Yeah. And so before they got to him, he received a package. And then the package was a phone. And the phone happened to be a Nokia.
Oh,
you're telling me the Nokia. Kind of a big deal around those times.
Okay, go on. How does the Nokia tie it? Oh, I fucking love it. Come on.
So, well, going back to gematria, right? Where each letter corresponds to a number. So A equals 1, B equals 2, C equals 3, so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Throughout the whole alphabet. That's just one cipher of gematria. And cipher, that word as well, that comes up again. So in this cipher of gematria, the word Nokia sums up to 50. So it's 14 plus 15 plus 11 plus 9 plus 1, right? N-O-K-I-A.
Oh my gosh, go on.
And those numbers will sum up to 50.
Okay.
And 50 is, it's like a pivot number. It's the balance point. You know, when you say something is either this way or that, you call it 50-50. Like when you're halfway on something, you say, I'm 50-50. You know? And the person who's on the other end of the line was Morpheus, who is also the Greek god of dreams.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, now we know here's that. Yeah. Neo. Yeah. Here is Neo on the edge, on the pivot point of, you know, between dream and awakening.
I don't believe you actually somehow put Nokia into this. Oh my flipping hell. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, go on. Okay.
I was on the details, man. I was on the details.
This is so good, man. Okay.
Damn. And again, this is something I can relate to our world in the sense that when you start seeing things and pointing things out that most people don't, you know, it becomes very different to the people around you.
Yeah.
You become an enemy of sorts.
Mm.
And the agents start coming for you. You start being attacked, ridiculed, even if it's not in the most intense of ways. People start looking at you differently.
Yeah. Once they see something, they cannot unsee it.
Mm. Mm. 100%.
Hmm?
And we always have a choice in that moment. So we can take a step and confront that fear that we have around, you know, just being that whole person. Or we get pulled back into the very thing that we were trying to escape from. And we see that a lot in romantic relationships, for example. When, you know, many of us have come to a point where it's like, all right, this relationship is not healthy or beneficial for me anymore. I know that I need to move on. And at the same time, there's something that's like, yeah, but do you really? Couldn't you just kind of stick around for a bit longer? And at the end of the day, there are certain benefits and you know, we find all the excuses to stay in that situation because it's comfortable.
Mm.
Even if it's uncomfortable, it's a comfortable discomfort.
Yes.
It's familiar.
Yes, yes, yes.
Mm. 100%. And as Neo was going through this whole process of following Morpheus' instructions on the phone and escaping the agents, he comes to a room where he's faced with a window of opportunity. He's faced with a window of opportunity and he has a choice. He can either step outside and walk across the narrow ledge to get to the roof, or he can give in to the fear. And he ends up giving into the fear. The agents capture him. He finds himself in a room.
Mm-hmm.
Being interrogated.
Mm-hmm.
And then they start to put it on him. They say, Mr. Anderson, we know that you live a double life. You know, in this one here, you seem to be a good citizen. You come to work, you pay your taxes, you donate to charity and da da da. And then the other one, you're a notorious hacker.
Mm.
And they say, one of these lives has a future. They say, one of these lives has a future. That's what they specifically say to him. And they begin to tell him about, what's his name?
Morpheus?
Yeah, there we go. Thank you.
You're welcome.
We're going to tell him about Morpheus and how he's the most dangerous man alive and he's a terrorist, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how often have you heard that narrative in our world about people being the most dangerous man alive and being terrorists because their interests do not align with the establishment's interests, right?
Yeah.
And poor old Mr. Anderson, he still thinks that he's somewhere within, you know, where the system can save him. He's like, I'm going to give you the finger and you're going to give me my phone call. And they basically start laughing at him. They're like, what? Phone call? Like, you're just saying the police, boy? This is something way, way bigger. Ha, see? Now, we've come to that point where we can speak about nature, right?
Okay, go on. Let's go.
So we were speaking on the law. We were speaking on the law.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, although we have the capabilities that allow us to create things like society, allow us to create things like laws that we can agree upon, our nature is animal instinct.
Yes.
That animal instinct is our nature. Mm-hmm. And when we go out there in the wild, even in the city, you'll see a bird swooping down to eat a worm. When you go out into different environments, different locations, you're going to see bigger animals. You know, you're going to see lions eating antelopes and zebra. And that's murder. That's murder.
Well, in the eyes of the law, it's... But is it murder? I don't know. I mean, it is killing... Let's just say... I don't think it's murder. I think it is killing another being, but... I don't think it's murder, even in our standards, especially if...
Where do you draw the line?
What do you mean?
Where do you draw the line between killing and murder?
So murder, that's like first degree murder. Murder is like when you literally, you knew you were going to kill someone that day. You're like, you went out, or it's either you were inside and you were planning to kill a motherfucker, or you were just walking around and you're like, you know what? I want to kill someone right now. And it's the intention. That's just murder. Killing someone is when it's like an accident. Like you went to beat them up or you went to punch them or you wanted to do something. Or maybe you just accidentally and then you just kill them. It's like, oh shit, kill them. That's the difference.
So the example that comes to mind with that is we're all familiar with the narrative of, and again, we're speaking about America. A lot of it comes back to America. There's something about that place.
Yeah, it's something about America, you know?
Yeah, yeah. In each generation or in each era, I should say, there's that empire, that empire spot. And, you know, it was Babylon and then it was Kemet, Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point it was Rome. At some point it was the British Empire.
Mongols as well. I swear the Mongols had their own thing as well. Khan.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. It's very true. And there were African empires as well.
Oh, dude. Yeah, of course.
You know, I'm just speaking about the Western narrative.
Oh, the Western. Okay. Sorry.
The ones that they all admit.
I'm so glad you said that because you know what, just because of that, let me just weave that in. So by the way, we're going to talk about this in a later podcast, but you do understand that there was a time where the Spaniards, or let's say the Europe in general, was poorish, and the Spaniards were looking for gold and shit. And it's when they came to Africa and they actually saw a massive nation. The king at that time was insanely wealthy and powerful. And Spaniards were like, woo. They saw all of that gold and they were like, hey, how do we get some of that? And so, there were a lot of kingdoms in Africa. There was a massive one which started off the whole, slavery thing. But we'll get into that on another time.
Mm. Definitely. And that's why I don't buy the whole... Oh yeah, we were this, you know, poor society with no knowledge and none of that. It's like no, not at all. Because I have contacted my ancestors, and I know that there's power in this shit. We'll definitely get into that, man. Where were we? We were speaking about...
You were talking about how we're always coming back to America, and there's always nations. Yeah.
Right. So the narrative that we've witnessed, especially over the past 5 or 6 years in a major way, it's throughout our whole, like you and I, our lifetimes, definitely. I would say our parents' lifetime as well to a degree, but heavy over the past 5 or 6 years, and definitely over the past 18 months, has been the murder of black men at the hands of police.
Mm-hmm.
Right? This has become a very talked about, a very present thing.
Yep, I think so.
In the media, in the mainstream, indeed. And
now it is, anyway. Now it's mainstream.
Yeah, indeed. The thing with that is, these are supposed to be officers of the law, right? So they're supposed to be the officers that uphold the very thing that protects people from getting murdered.
Yep.
At the same time, they are the ones doing the murdering.
Mm-hmm.
So what I see is that while most people have been rocked to sleep, they're like, don't worry, go to sleep, little baby. Society is safe. All right. That's the narrative. On the other hand, there are people playing the real game, which is nature, which is I'm going to kill you because you threaten me. And let's speak about what that fear is, right? Because at the end of the day, it is fear.
Yes.
And people kill to survive. The only reason people kill is to survive. Whether you're a lion hunting in the wild, or whether you're a police officer with a gun on your belt, you are killing to survive.
Okay.
So the reason that one might kill to survive is different. And I read a book called The ISIS Papers, which made things quite clear to me.
ISIS Papers.
The ISIS Papers.
Okay.
The Keys to the Colors by Dr. Francis Cress-Welsing.
Okay.
And this was written between the 70s and the 80s, I believe. Yeah. Late 60s, throughout the 70s and 80s.
All right.
And what she's pointing out is that black men in particular have the greatest potential to reproduce, the greatest potential of spreading their genes. Right? So literally, a black man could go and bust a nut in 10 women in 10 days and plant 10 seeds. And all of those children will be melanated.
Yeah.
They'll be melanated. So this is the thing. There are people who feel threatened by that notion, right? Because once melanin is dominant, present in a bloodline, good luck getting out. Good luck getting out, you know? And there's a lot of depth to where she comes from.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of depth to where she comes from with this. So I would recommend anyone to read through the book to get an understanding of this behavior. So,
yeah,
because this is what it is. I see this fear behavior of, it's people that are scared to be eradicated.
Yes,
and that's what the whole Nazi thing was about, right?
Yes.
It was about, we don't want these people to quote unquote pollute our bloodline. Whereas the truth is, they know that it's because of those dominant genes that this bloodline will be, and again, eradicated. It sounds, you know, it sounds violent and it sounds dangerous. And it brings me back to the problem that because we see ourselves as separate beings, because we see ourselves as separate from each other, that can be painful. So a person who is like a white person who is scared that their children or their grandchildren won't be white is going to act differently around black people.
Yes. Okay, can I explain why? Because there is a reason to that. There is a massive reason. So, I thought this was going to come, maybe this will be a little sneak peek to what we're going to talk about later. But for a quick summary, I had the quick summary. So basically, when they went to the New World, which was the Americas, what happened was they actually wanted to enslave the natives of the Americas. But the issue was, you cannot enslave people who know their land. They tried to capture these people. They tried to enslave them, to put them in the farms, to, you know, put them into slavery, but these guys will be able to fight back because they know the land, and then they'll escape because they know the land. And so it was really difficult for them to make the natives of that land into slaves. And plus, because of all the nasty diseases they brought over from the US, I mean, from Europe, they almost wiped out, I mean, not almost, they did wipe out 90% of the goddamn population, which was like, well, fuck, we don't have people to make slaves anymore. So the reason why they went and brought black people over there was because, first of all, black people coming over there, they don't know the language, they don't know the land, they don't know shit. So they are easier to control. And so now they have a surplus of people that they can now control, because of course they cannot speak the language and they don't know the land that they've just been taken to. So you can control them. And now to make it plausible to treat people like this, they literally had to come up with bullshit to fool other white people into saying it's okay that black people are slaves, because black people are not really human. They're like subhuman. We are the humans chosen by God, and these guys are subhuman. So don't worry about them. And so you can understand that throughout the generations, this has been pumped into their brains. That's why white people are scared of black people being a part of their families, because of this inherent thing, this lie that's been sowed into the minds of that nation, into thinking that if you have melanated skin, then you are subhuman. So that's why they're scared that, like you said, the black gene is a strong gene. If it gets into your family line, good luck getting that shit out, because your kids are going to be some kind of melanated down the line. So they don't want that, because it's still sowed into their mind after like, what, 500, 600 years, that if you have this type of skin, you're a slave, you're subhuman. So it's really sad, but that is the truth as to why racism is still here, because people still think that. Even in Asia, dude, even in Asia, Asian people would look down on the other Asian people because their skin is more melanated. Because they're like, in Asia, it's like all of the high class people have pale white skin and they're all chubby, whilst all of the poor people are melanated skin and all muscly because they're working out in the farms, so they get baked by the sun. But because, you know, they didn't work, they have all pale skin. So just that mentality is just sowed into people's minds, that if you have darker skin, you are less. So we have to find a way to break out of that.
There's a cognitive dissonance that exists as well with that. Because on the one hand, you have the belief that certain people are inferior. And at the same time, the most popular form of music in the world right now, the most popular culture is hip hop culture.
Dude, it's insane.
The most popular things in the world are everything that come from black melanated people.
Dude.
And that's because everyone knows that the darkest people were the first people. Everyone knows that. Like, mm-hmm. This is a planet that is powered by the sun. So it follows that.
Literally, the sun is literally our power source. The sun, yes. Without the sun, nothing would have happened. How skin works, fucking idiots. Okay, let me just teach people. Every single human being on this planet has cells in their skin that creates melanin, right? Some people, it's more abundant than others. Sometimes it doesn't work. Sometimes it does, right? When you go out in the sun, the skin goes, oh shit, there's a lot of sun rays coming down. We need to release more melanin to protect you from the harsh sun rays. That's how it works. That's all it is, right? That is it. Yeah, because of that shit, people are just like going crazy, like white people. And the weirdest thing, you know, is that white people created the fucking sunbed, the tanning bed. So it's okay for you motherfuckers to go and tan and turn pink and fucking raw, but yet you treat black people like shit. It makes no fucking sense until you realize that it's all about money and power. They have this inferiority. Not inferiority, this complex of I'm better than you. And you want to be a part of the cool kids. You want to be in the cool gang. And we're a part of the cool gang. You're not a part of the cool gang. We don't want you to be a part of the cool gang. We're the cool gang. That's all it is. We can steal your hair. We can listen to your music. We can fucking go into a tan booth and make ourselves orange and pink and brown. But you can't do that because you're not a part of the cool kids anymore. It's bullshit, man. It doesn't make sense, dude. It's so dumb.
It makes perfect sense to me. And it's deeper than money.
Money started it, though.
Money is a tool to achieve the bigger goal. This is about souls, the way I see it. This is about souls. And there's a couple of books that I would recommend to get a deeper understanding. So I spoke about the ISIS papers. There's another one called Melanin, A Key to Freedom by Richard King. And there's one called Why Darkness Matters. It's called The Power of Melanin in the Brain. And just digging into this literature helped me to see deeper into why, first of all, there seems to be a sort of jealousy. And I'm okay with admiration. I'm personally okay with that. There seems to be a form of jealousy among peoples, to the point where nobody knows who they are and everyone's trying to reverse shit. There are certain things that need to be said, but I'm not going to say them without providing certain background.
Okay.
Because I feel that would be irresponsible. But it's something that I would love to build up to as we deepen these conversations.
Mm.
100%. But definitely reading about what melanin actually is and the effect that it has in our body. And also digging into certain types of mythology. But the demiurge stuff, I've got like a whole list of crazy ass books here that I'm pretty sure most people haven't even fucking... Let me just read you some of these titles, right? Of these books that I've been reading. So I've got some standard ones like The Complete Book of Numerology, Dictionary of Symbols. I've got one called Dirt, A Social History as Seen Through the Uses and Abuses of Dirt. All right, I've got Healing Love Through the Tao, Cultivating Female Sexual Energy.
Giggity.
But those melanin ones that I just spoke to you about. What else we got here? Cyclomancy, The Secret of Psychic Power Control.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. The Gnostics.
Of course. I still need to beat up on that bitch.
Yeah. The Multi-Orgasmic Man, Sexual Secrets Every Man Should Know by Mantak Chia. All kinds of magic going on. Astral Dynamics, The Consciousness of the Atom, Creating Magical Entities.
Okay.
DMT, The Spirit Molecule.
It's Spirit Molecule indeed.
Yes. I'd just be reading like crazy shit.
Oh, it's good, man.
Just expands my mind to new possibilities.
I mean, I remember being in English class and I think it was Mr. Parr, right?
Mm.
The bald guy? Mr. Parr, if you're out there, man, shout out.
I
never
had him personally. I was with Miss Dickinson.
Oh, you were with Miss Dickinson. Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. But shout out to Mr. Parr, man. He was jokes. Fucking love Mr. Parr. But he was like, read everything, man. Don't just read one thing. Read fiction, nonfiction, newspapers, novels, poetry. Read everything, man. Just go out there and expand your mind. Reading is a really good thing. And we've lost that throughout the last, decade or so. People don't read as much anymore with all these fucking... online subscriptions and shit, man. Everyone wants audible.com, which is, you know what, Audible, I will give a pass because at least someone's reading you a book. But guys, man, read more. It really does enrich your mind when you read. I'm not lying. But
it's fire, man. Yeah. It's fire. Yeah. We kind of went off on a tangent.
Yeah, it's what happens, man.
Indeed.
Everyone comes from Africa. We all come from Africa. You all know that. Anyway,
I come from space.
To be honest, we are all made up of star shit. Right? Star stuff. That's we're all made up of stars.
Facts on facts.
But anyway, yeah, we did go off on a tangent, man.
Yeah. So what I was coming to with that whole police and black people thing anyway,
yes,
was that under certain circumstances, even though there are these laws in place, there are no rules. There basically are no rules. There's just an illusion of rules. There are certain agreements that we've made. But at the same time,
yes,
these people have realized, oh shit, I can actually kill with impunity. And that's kind of changed a little bit now that we've seen, what's
George
his name?
Floyd?
Derek Chauvin be imprisoned, yeah, allegedly. And again, I don't know if he's in prison because I ain't seen him.
Exactly.
So, you know.
George Floyd, man. Rest in peace, man. RIP, man.
Right. And there are no rules. There really are no rules in this bitch. And so the people that are free realize that truth. We can operate as though... We can still operate looking like a regular ass human, right? Mm. But to be free is to realize that there are no rules.
Yeah.
And that they can be... These agreements can be broken at any time.
At any
so
time.
We gotta be exactly. We gotta be prepared to deal with that. And what happened to Neil while he was in that room... thinking about his phone call, thinking about, oh, what happened to the rule about the phone call? This isn't fair. What happened is that his mouth, like Agent Smith did some bullshit and...
Oh yeah, just covered his mouth. He's like,
yeah. Exactly. And what I found very... So I'm going to go into another detail again here.
Mm-hmm.
Was that whole censorship, because it's censorship, right? If you cover up someone's mouth and take away their ability to speak, you're censoring them. You're yep. stifling their expression.
Going into and the title of our podcast, yeah.
All right. The timestamp in the movie when that happened, yeah?
Oh my God, don't do... What? What? You're tying this into the timestamp. Oh my God. What the hell? How? Okay, go on.
The timestamp in the movie when that happened was 2020.
Okay. How's that relevant?
2020. Because this 2020, this whole period has been an era of censorship. How many people got censored and kicked off of social media last year?
What the fuck?
Just for saying shit that didn't go with the narrative. You know, that might be a stretch. That might be a stretch, but it's a detail that I noticed.
Well, that was so interesting, I though. Know. I like how you did that, though. I like how you did that.
I'll be looking for all the details, man. This, oh like, I God. Don't see... Coincidences don't exist to me.
Oh my
coincidence,
God.
Coincidence, that word is not in my vocabulary anymore.
Bro, I really need to introduce you to this guy. I think he's on TikTok and he's a black guy and he just comes to the screen and goes, there is no consequences. There is no coincidence. You seeing me here is an alignment of all of the stars. There is no consequence. There is no coincidence. And it's like, flipping hell. I think you like this guy, man. I think you and him should meet. I'll show it to you later.
100%. Yeah, man. I feel that. I truly feel that. Man. But yeah, that's about as far as I got. I got to the part where... they put the bug in his navel, right?
Yeah.
They put the bug in his navel while he was suppressed.
Freaky shit, man.
Yeah. And then he woke up again. He woke up and he was like, oh, shit.
Oh, yeah. What the fuck?
That was a crazy dream.
Yeah.
That was a crazy dream. And then... he gets contacted again by Trinity and them, and they say, you know, meet me under the bridge. So he's waiting on the bridge for them, gets in the car, and what's her name? Switch?
I think it was Switch. I think so, yeah.
Pulls the gun on him, and he's like, the fuck? And they tell him, lift up your shirt, take off your shirt. And he's like, what is this? And she says to him, it's our way or the highway. So again, he gets ready to get out of the car and leave. And before he leaves off, Trinity says to him, you've walked down that road before.
Oh, yeah. And then it's raining, isn't it? I think it was raining. Yeah. And then it was like a long street. Yeah.
Exactly. She says, you know where it ends. And is that really where you want to be? And he was like, fuck.
Fuck. Shit. God damn it.
And I've been there as well. Many of us have been there. We get to that point where it's like, ugh. Yeah, I know that road and it's familiar, but fuck, I don't really want to go there again.
Yeah,
man.
I know how that's gonna end up.
This whole life thing,
man.
Exactly. This whole life thing is just doing the same shit over and over again until we get sick enough of it to change. We just gotta repeat the same patterns until we like
learn
a
lesson.
I'm really tired of this shit. Yeah, and then we have a reason to change, to make changes, I should say. And then, so they're doing the whole thing on him now, and they suck the bug out. And he's like, oh shit. Cause he's like, it was real. That bug was really in me. I thought it was just a dream.
Yeah.
So then it's like, where is the line between dreams and reality? Like, where is the line for real?
By the way, going off on another tangent, there's these, again, with TikTok, there are these kids on TikTok that actually believe that they can take their consciousness and actually transfer it into the Harry Potter world. So I forgot what it was. There was a certain term for it. I actually forgot what it was. But
is it remote viewing?
No, as in there's a certain word they use to describe it. I need to find out. I forgot. But they think that they can create, like, they generally do believe there's a world of Harry Potter out there somewhere, and if they can concentrate enough, that they can actually move their consciousness into that world. So that they can.
It sounds like remote viewing, where you can literally be anywhere. Like, you can project your consciousness into what we might call an alternate dimension or alternate reality, whether that be Harry Potter, whether that be, for example, it's what the certain Russians, like, there are these FBI documents that the Russians have been using this to spy behind enemy lines.
What? Really?
Yeah.
What? Are you sure? I found it.
Life is crazy, son. Life is crazy. I'm telling you. Life is stranger than fiction.
What the? Imagine thinking, okay, we're gonna do this experiment so you can move your brain into the enemy territory. It's like, what the fuck?
Literally, they move their mind into where is it? So I think if you search for like CIA, FBI remote viewing, there's like a whole bunch of documents. There's a whole bunch of documents that were released a few months back.
What?
What's the project? There's a name of a project.
Stargate Project?
Shit. Stargate. There we go. Yeah.
Stargate Project was the 1991 code name for a secret US Army unit established in 1978. It primarily involved remote viewing, the purported ability to physically see events, sites, or information from a great distance.
Life is crazy, son.
What the actual fuck? They actually tried to do that shit. Are you kidding me? Wow.
Bro. And this is where, so when you're talking about Stargates now, yeah, there was that show called Stargate. Bro,
that was a dope fucking show. I fucking loved Stargate. I will always rep Stargate. That was a fucking dope show.
That shit was fire. To be honest, like, at the time, I underrated it. When I came back to it, I was like, fuck.
Dude, it's a dope.
This shit is deep.
It goes deep, you know. It goes into the whole Egyptian shit being aliens and how. Dude, it's mad. I loved it.
And when I did some diving into the whole, you know, war in Iraq and the whole quote unquote war on terrorism, again, you know, Morpheus being called a terrorist, just like Saddam and them were called terrorists.
Yeah.
When I did some digging into that, I again and again, time and again, I saw talk of stargates in Iraq.
What?
So it wasn't necessarily even about the oil.
No way. They're talking about Stargates. I can't believe Iraq. That. No, bro. No, no, bro. No.
Stargates in Iraq, right?
No, no, no.
I'm telling you. And what popped off that whole thing? What popped off that whole war on terrorism? What was the event?
It was the one big event? The explosion. 9/11, isn't it?
9/11. Right. In the Matrix.
Oh my God.
Thomas Anderson has a passport. This movie was released in 1999.
Days, man.
Thomas Anderson has a passport.
Oh, God.
What was the expiry date?
No idea.
I'm going to send you a link.
No way is it 9/11. No fucking way is it 9/11, dude. By the way, the Harry Potter thing is called Shifting. It's called Shifting.
Okay.
So if you want to read or look up on that, these kids think that they can shift their minds into the Harry Potter world. Shifting reality. So Shifting.
All right.
Oh, man. All right,
I'll send you the link in the chat.
All right, let me. Fucking hilarious. Okay, where's the thing? Got the link. Gimme. No way. Let me see the date of this. No Fucking way! Neo's passport in the Matrix, 1999. In the Matrix that came out in 1999. It expired on September the 11th, 2001. Fuck off, man. The odd fact has led to debate of coincidence versus conspiracy, but the fact remains that the passport shown in this 1999 movie does show the date 9/11/01. Boy. Boy. Okay, so how does that tie into shit? Bro. Go on.
So, I've done a deep dive into something called predictive programming. So and how you can program people's minds.
So, you're telling me, oh, that's certain... what... Oh, my God. Go on. No, because I know what you're going to do.
So, I ain't saying shit, right?
Because you're going to go into that other movie. You're going to go into that other movie of that guy. You said it before, and then they took him out to that place, and they showed him the number so many times, and then when they took him to the football game, they're like, hey, right. pick a guy. You're going into that, right?
That's predictive programming.
Jeez.
That's predictive programming right there. The rabbit hole is deeper than the motherfucker. It's deeper than the motherfucker. I had to pull myself out. I was like, no, I can't go down here. I've seen enough. I was deep in the rabbit hole last year. Deep.
Oh my God.
And I said, I am so lonely. I started posting shit on Instagram and I was like, why aren't people seeing this shit? And then I just realized, all right, I need to back up. I need to just back up. Because it's not that the stuff down there isn't potentially true. But it's just that it doesn't make sense to get lost in it for no reason. It's like, what is my purpose here?
Oh, man.
So now that I know this information, now that I know that something is off about this world, about this simulation, about this reality, what can I actually do about it? So instead of trying to convince people that, oh yeah, this, that, and the other, because I know in my mind, I don't need to argue with anyone about it. I am not convinced in the slightest about 9/11's official story. And that's it. Like, it doesn't make the slightest conspiracy. Bit of sense. Doesn't make the slightest bit of sense to me, you know. But I don't need to convince anyone else of that. It gives me all the information I need to know, which is, all right, this government is not to be trusted.
To be honest, mm-hmm. Now that you said that, I also, even though I don't think it's for the same reasons you are, but I genuinely do believe that it is full of shit. I believe that they created this bullshit lie just so that they can invade. I mean, they've done it before. They're going to do it again. Mm-hmm. They definitely wanted to go into that country. They just needed a reason to go in there and get whatever they wanted mm-hmm. to get. So they definitely made up a story to like, but I don't want to get into the whole who actually was flying the planes. Did they know it was coming? I don't want to get into that. Because people's lives were at stake, man. People's lives were lost, man.
People died.
Like, I don't want to get into that. Yeah. So, yeah. But that's digging up too much, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm just like fuck it. Let me come out of this rabbit hole. I've seen that I cannot trust these governments now. That's all I need to know.
No, that's true,
so
man.
So it's like, how can I take responsibility for my life?
Yeah.
Without depending on them.
No, I don't trust any of these governments as well. You know these governments are full of shit, man. They're full of shit. Mm.
Yeah, man. It's mad. Yeah. But generally the whole message that I get from the Matrix, because I could go into the next detail that I had, right, was when they go to see Morpheus in that building after taking out the bug.
Mm-hmm.
The floor is black and white. And again, it just represents that duality of zero and one, of masculine and feminine, of what we might call good and evil.
Mm-hmm.
And then Neo has that experience with the mirror where the first few times I watched that movie, I'm like, why is nobody trying to save him? Why can't nobody help him when he's getting absorbed by this fucking mirror? But then I realized that it was a unique experience. Like, he was the only one perceiving that. So they couldn't have done anything because that was happening inside his mind.
Mm.
And I was like, ah, shit. Yeah, man. But the whole journey of Neo. The whole journey of Neo, obviously Neo is an anagram for one.
Yeah.
And he is the one, and it's also an anagram of Eon. So as in an era, right?
Mm.
And what it comes down to is that you are the one. I am the one. You know, the whole Jesus that everyone's waiting for to come back and save us, he's not coming. It's you are the Christ.
Yeah. You are the son Christ. Or daughters of God, yeah.
Right. And that's the overarching message that I get from that thing. And it's the only way that we're going to escape this simulation, this prison planet, in the state that it is by realizing that we are the one, realizing that we are the Christ, that we are Buddha.
Mm. It's true though. Anyone can be Buddha. Anyone could be Buddha. Anyone could be Christ. The funny thing is, right? Now, I'm so glad you said that. The funny thing is, people like exalt Jesus like he was like the only dude that could do these things, and he's like, but when what I always realize is people just see Jesus as this magic guy that has all these superpowers. But I'm like, they never actually go into the story. Read it. What did he actually do? Look at how the guy moved. Look at his flexes. Because even Jesus himself said, do not pray to me. I am not the one doing this shit. Pray to God. He's the one that's doing this shit. Like, if you read this, you know all of the stuff that Jesus did, right? Jesus got angry. Jesus wrecked a marketplace because he got pissed off that there was a marketplace in the temple. He's like, why the fuck are these stores out here in the temple? Get the fuck out of here. And he wrecked the shit. And then he was talking to prostitutes. He was talking to this and that. Jesus was a normal guy just trying to live his life. And he's like, live the way I lived. Treat people the way I treated people. You can do it. Just do what I did. But people don't want to see that. People want to see Jesus as this magic God's dude that's part of the Holy Trinity, and he's going to come again and save our souls. Nigga, save yourself. Shit. Save yourself. Live the way he lived, and then we will all be better. If all Christians lived the way Jesus lived, holy shit. Like, this world would be one gajillion times better. But all these Christians are going around like, Jesus is going to come again and save me. So they're going to faff about doing their fucking fake shit.
Boy, I felt the emotion there, man. I felt the emotion. And it's so real. It's so real. Jesus literally said, when you're tapped into the source, to the plug, right? Go straight to the plug. Go straight to the source of power. Straight to the thing we call God. And you can do it yourself. And he said that you can do this and more.
Yeah.
That you can do this and more.
He said that himself.
Boy.
He literally said that. Like, they were like, oh, Jesus, you're so amazing. And he goes, no, I'm not amazing. People will come after me that will do even more amazing things. And it's like, why aren't people concentrating on that shit? People love... And then why are you praying? Okay, I'm not going against what people... You can do whatever you want, but why do people pray to Mary? Because they go, she was a virgin and she gave birth, so we need to pray to Mary. What? Guys, come on, man. Like, people want to make these... Like, you literally made a false god of Mary to the god that said, don't make false gods. You know what I'm saying? It's just the biggest contradictory nonsense I've seen. The god that literally said, don't pray to any other but me, yet these guys then go and make Mary into a god that they pray to. And then they pray to Jesus when Jesus literally said, do not pray to me. It's literally there. He literally said that. And I'm so confused. It baffles me. I'm like, am I the only one that's seeing this? Guys, like, Christians, come on, man. Like, shit. I'm confused. What are you guys doing? There seems
to be a fear among... So you mentioned Christians, right? And just in my personal experience, I've noted... I don't know what it is in other religious collectives, to be honest. But something that I personally notice in the Christian collectives that I was part of is that there seems to be that fear of taking responsibility for the self.
Yeah.
And there is that thing of just giving everything over to Jesus. Like, literally just saying, Jesus, Jesus, take the wheel.
Take it.
Jesus, take the wheel.
Take the wheel. Drive me, old shepherd.
Yeah. That sense of just really not wanting to take responsibility. And it's not a condemnation, because I feel as though religion is very important to a lot of people, and the value of it.
There's a lot of value in religion.
The thing is, we need to have the confidence, the bravery, the faith, the true faith, to go beyond. If we just look at everything as though, all right, this is it. This is all the answers I need. that's complacency. That's complacency, and that's arrogance. Mm-hmm. And like you were saying, to move as Jesus. And that's something that I've been really conscious of lately, especially over the past couple of years. There are people outside living on the street, and I just stop and have a conversation with them. I see people walking past like they don't even exist. And I'm like, hold on, that's a whole person. Mm. That's an actual person who may not have money like you got money, may not, you know, live a life that you recognize and that you understand, but that is a person.
Yeah.
That is a living being. And so I've just been very conscious of just stopping and having a conversation just to say, I see you, you know?
I'm going to play devil's advocate a bit because it's a good thing that you do that. Sometimes it's like, because like you said, people do not want to take responsibility for their actions. I think I even said that in the first podcast, how people love chatting shit online because they have the, you know, they have the wall of animus. What's it called when you're, basically, no one can really figure out who you are unless they truly go into looking up your IP address and shit.
Yeah.
So you can hide behind your avatar. So that's why people chat a lot of shit, because they don't want to own the things that they actually say. But sometimes it's because a lot of people just don't know what to do. They have not actually been taught how to live life and just go through it with confidence. So that's why when people walk past someone that's poor on the street, it's not like you don't want to do anything. It's like, how can I help you when I myself am struggling? I don't know how to live this life. How can I help you when I don't even know how to help myself? You know?
Yeah.
And that's what it is 100%. Sometimes. So there are a lot of people that are assholes and they literally walk past people that they don't give a shit. But some people, it's like, I want to help you, but I just don't know how. I literally don't know how to help you.
Yeah, no, I feel that. You're 100% correct. Like, I 100% agree on that. And I don't feel as though everyone's an asshole in that regard, you know? Because I was that person as well. He was like, how do I actually help this person? And it came to the point where I realized, all right, the best thing I can do is literally to just speak, just have a conversation, find out where they are, find out what they're going through. You know, sometimes I do share money if I feel it, you know, and earlier in my life, I had that judgment of, oh yeah, they're just going to spend it on alcohol or drugs anyway. But then I realized if I was living on the street
you want in this circumstance,
right, I'd want a fucking drink as well, man. So if I can help you to, and not that I condone escapism like that, but it's just, like, I get it. If you want a fucking beer, you know, if you want some fucking vodka, bro, like, here's a few euros, man.
That's like, nice of you, man.
You
That's
do as
nice
you see fit, you know? Yeah, man. Because I'll be drinking while living under a roof in the house. So, you know, the fuck?
See, I like that. That's true. Give motherfuckers a break, man. You don't know what happened in their lives. You don't know what went down. And if they do just go take drugs just to get away from their situation, just for a few moments, let them do it, man. Let them do it. You have no idea what they're going through at all.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we went off on another tangent, by the way.
Yeah, this was all necessary, though. It all ties in together somewhere at the root.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Neo is, he's at the black and white square. The thing, the mirror is like, goes into his mouth and shit.
Yeah. And then after all of that, he was reborn. He was disconnected and reborn. Yeah. And that starts that whole part of the adventure. What that part means to me now is there are a lot of people who get quote unquote woke and they're like, all right, cool, I figured this shit out. The system is bullshit, you know? And then that becomes their new matrix. So their new matrix becomes the system is bullshit, fuck the system, and they get stuck there.
So you're saying that they wake up from one matrix just to get into another one?
Yeah, it's just another layer. Another layer. And that ties back into that black and white, right? How there are two sides to everything. There are two sides to everything. So as much as someone might be in love with the system, You can also despise the system and hate the system, but you're still giving the system energy. So black and white are the same thing, basically.
Yeah.
Just to different degrees.
I told you, everything is 50 million shades of gray. There is no such thing. Like, it's so hard to put it into words for people to not understand, but just to get an idea of, because like you said, black and white are two sides of the same coin, which means they're the same thing, which means there's no such thing as good and evil, because, you know, it's just terms that we've created. Someone could do something good for a bad reason, and someone could do something bad for a really good reason. Does that mean that thing is good, or does it mean it's bad, or is it both? Like, these are all concepts you create yourself to try and justify the actions that you or other people do. But like, say that there's a harsh black and harsh white, like this is good and this is bad. It's just, it's so fucked up to think like that. That's just no way to live. If you see that everything is connected and everything has a reason and there's no good for good's sake or bad for bad's sake, everything just flows into each other, then you have so much better time living. Have so much of a better time living.
100%, man. 100%.
Yes.
So is that, I love that as a takeaway point.
As a takeaway point?
Yeah, I love that as a takeaway point. Just everything is just different degrees, and what might be the most beautiful thing to me is disastrous to another person.
Exactly. So, Exactly. But unfortunately, in this world we live in, people think that there's a definite good and there's a definite evil. And that there's nothing in between. There's nothing in between. You can only be good or evil. Pick a side. Jeez. And you know what it comes down to? It comes down to, because you said something earlier before, and it comes down to education. It comes down to people don't know. And because people don't know, that breeds anxiety, and anxiety breeds fear, and then fear breeds hate, and then hate just turns into all kinds of bullshit, like sexism and racism and segregation and all of that bullshit. If people were educated and people know, then there wouldn't be so much hate. Like, if we put it into another concept like this, let's say, someone told me about this. I just actually watched this today. So let's say you're going on holiday, right? And let's say you're going holiday to, let's say, the Bahamas, and you're gonna go chill out on the beach, right? Even though you are going to a relaxed area, you're on the beach, you're chilling, a part of your brain is still on high alert because you're in a place you've never been to before. And because you've never been to that place, you don't know how it works. There's this fear in you, which may fuck up your whole relaxation time. Like, people go on holiday and they get constipated, because taking a shit means, you know, literally leaving yourself defenseless. So the mind is so scared of leaving itself defenseless in a place that it doesn't know that it leaves you constipated, so you can't actually take a shit. So if you had knowledge of the Bahamas, if people gave you enough knowledge, or if you knew the place a lot, then you'd be taking shit like it's no problem. You'd be chilling on that beach like it's your own backyard. And this is why education is so key. And we need to teach people, everyone, no matter what age you are, information. Information is okay. You can learn things. You can learn new things no matter what age you are. And then things will be better. But I want to talk, this is something to talk about later time, how even though, you know, education is so key to everyone, how is it that the educational system has not evolved, and why is it that we're still putting students into like lifelong debt, and why is it that you go into schools and some schools have hardly got any budget, or the doors are on the hinges, they're about to break down? What the fuck?
It's bad design.
Exactly, exactly. And this is what I wanted to get to in one of the podcasts where we talk about how this is done by design. It's purposely done. They purposely make education the way it is. It's on purpose. You're telling me that they can put money into the skyscraper and build that shit in under like 2-3 months and put billions of dollars into that shit, but you can't pour it into the educational system and just fix up a few schools? Shut the fuck up, man. Get the fuck out of here.
I love what you said, man, especially about the knowledge being the thing to rely on. And what I've done for myself is to simplify all of that. So on one level, there is, all right, if I have knowledge of this place, if I have knowledge of the lay of the land and the people that are around, then I can feel safe enough to take a shit.
Yeah.
And what I've done is I've tried to go, I haven't tried, I've done it. I've gone further. I've gone beyond that point where it's my knowledge is I know that I'm going to die. It might be today. I'm going to take a shit right now because I'm alive. I've been able to have that shift, like to make that internal shift. And it feels powerful. Like I feel like it gives me a lot of power. And it simplifies everything. My main aim is to simplify and streamline everything. I don't want to think too much anymore. Literally, I just went and got a new job, right? I dropped a whole bunch of my teaching work that I did because the preparation and like homework and all that shit, I was like, it's taken away from the flow of the other stuff. So I went and got a job delivering food. I'm gonna start that next week. Delivering food. I don't have to think about that too much. All I need to do is how to work Google Maps and how to ride a bike. That's it. The rest of that thought energy, I want to put it into a certain form where it helps me to amplify the impact of my business. So my focus is my business.
Ah, fair enough.
And that's why I want to grow. So I'm like, at the end of the day, this is money and this is bringing in money as well. So if this is the simpler way to do it, I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna do that. And then put the rest of that energy into growing my business. So I'm looking to simplify and streamline everything in my life.
Is that the same kind of money coming in as well?
To be honest, it's a bit more.
Really?
So it's, yeah.
And there you go.
So, you know, it's just convenient, man. And I'm still working my other teaching job. I'm teaching a couple classes in about 3 hours. Jeez. As well. That one pays pretty well. But they only pay at the end of each semester. So, you know, I've got to do something in between.
Yeah. Jeez. So I hope people have taken a lot from this. Like, we're not telling you what to do. We're not telling you what to do. You can still do whatever you want. That is the freedom that we give you.
That husband's word. just advice.
Oh, don't get me started on the Hush Twins, man. That's another thing, man. For another day, man. But yeah. How are you gonna end this one?
Yeah, man. Yes, I don't even like to give advice. I just like to provide perspective from my experience, and yeah, hopefully, it helps someone else to expand their consciousness to realize their freedom, to realize their power. Because that's what this is about. For me at the end of the day, you know, it's about empowerment and it's about liberation from this matrix. And again, like they say in the movie, the matrix is nothing that you can touch, smell or taste. It's an invisible construct which exists in the mind. So it's just about how can you free your mind? How can you come to an awareness of what is really going on around you and about who and what you can really trust in? About, you know, where you can really place your energy without it being manipulated and used against you. Yeah. And the secret, and it's not even a secret, but the truth is you are always the one. It always has been you. It always will be. You are Neo, you are Jesus, you are Buddha, you are Muhammad, whoever, any prophet or whatever, like any power, any figure that you can think of. It's just a story telling you how you can awaken yourself.
And with those words, this is the end. All right, lads and gentlemen and females.
And lads and gentlemen, that's what we got, both types.
I was going to go through everything. We've got they, them, he, she, her, we, us, all of them. I was going to go through all of them.
Thank you, hustlers, skip, scap, scallywags.
Give it a good bone. Right. This has been a great one. I loved it. As always, see you on the next one. We out.
Yes, indeed. Peace.